The information and opinions presented in this podcast are based on research done at a particular point in time. The fields of medicine, surgery, psychology, etc. are constantly evolving as new studies and movements happen. Please take into account the year of any particular episode's publication, and as new information presents itself, we will do our best to release updated episodes on the topics. Listener discretion is advised for references to medical terminology of body parts. Unless otherwise stated, no one speaking on this podcast is a medical or legal professional and cannot provide medical or legal advice. Welcome to the Trans Field Guide. So today we're going to be just talking about mental health during the pandemic, how to keep your mental health on a more even level. I'm not going to say that we're going to be like, oh, we're going to talk about how to keep yourself super happy during all this, because I think that's a unrealistic goal.
Well, I suppose it really varies from person to person.
That's fair.
I would like to just start by recognizing that, you know, it's okay if your mental health is not where it was before all this happened. You know, that it's okay that you are experiencing more anxiety and maybe even feelings of sadness and, you know, uncertainty and a lot of those feelings that go with that. And I mean, a lot of us are feeling that way. And a lot of people, you know, even if you have really good, stable mental health, this, you know, might be backsliding a little bit. And there's nothing to be shameful about that or feel guilty about your mental health not being where it was before all this happened.
Yeah, these are unprecedented times. So it's hard to even work from any sort of template on this because it's such a different situation than just about anyone has faced. So even people who already have built up a lot of different coping skills might not know how to apply them in this case, or they might actually be applicable in this case. So many times I have told people, okay, who is it that you can connect with, go and hang out with? And now for many people, it's shelter in place.
Yeah, I think looking at, you know, what are your coping skills that worked before all this happened and how can you modify them to work in this situation? So like JD just mentioned that, you know, there's still ways to connect with people instead of just as within your home. How can you make sure that you're in connection with others, whether and using different medium to connect, not just through text message, you know, but FaceTime, Skyping, doing things like if you're connecting through gaming systems, if you're, you know, connecting through Zoom meetings. I know that I've been having a lot more meetings through online platforms, and that's been actually very helpful instead of just doing everything through email, because I get to see people, I get to hear people. And then, you know, doing things like for myself, I have a group of friends that are going to do that Netflix party where we're all going to watch a movie together this week. And so I'm looking forward to that, to seeing friends that I haven't been able to connect with recently since all this started.
I've been emphasizing with people that I've been seeing that it may not feel like an exact substitute, I guess, for face-to-face in-person contact. And this is not about recreating that exact same feel. It is going to be different, and different is okay. We're looking at ways that we can improve the situation and have some sense of moving forward in our life through this adjustment.
Along those lines, I've had conversations with several trans people specifically, but I'm sure this also applies outside of the trans community, of people who don't necessarily want to do voice or video chat because they either greatly dislike the sound of their own voice or they have major voice dysphoria. And even though they're not hearing their own voice echo back to them, them hearing their own voice as they talk is just giving them dysphoria in and of itself.
Yeah, in those cases, I think, you know, then using things like text messaging and, you know, again, it's not going to feel like it is when you're hanging out with your friends in person or seeing family in person. But I think completely isolation is where people are going to, where it's risky for those that do struggle with mental health, you know, symptoms of depression and anxiety. You know, we're relational beings and we need relationships. So I understand the dysphoria. And getting misgendered through voice at times still is hard for me, even though, you know, I've been on testosterone for 2 years. I understand those kinds of things. So if that's such a dysphoric thing for you, I totally understand just doing text messaging or doing things where you get to type. But I think my biggest point is that just be sure that you're connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do video chat that you have the microphone off, and so you're still able to like see someone, and then you're typing. You can send funny videos, or you can text message using pictures back and forth. I've seen some people work that way. Make TikTok videos and send those back and forth, and then you don't even have to use your own voice there. We're in a day and age where we are able to talk through memes and have full conversations through memes and GIFs, and it's like one giant set of inside jokes that invites everyone that's paying attention.
That's very true, and there is also things like the app. I can't remember if it's Marco Polo or if it's just Polo, but it's very similar to Snapchat in the sense that you can send like just a direct message with like text on the screen and then with along with a video. The difference being that Marco Polo actually keeps your videos and it's only like in one direction with one other person.
I actually hadn't heard of that one yet. I'm going to have to check it out.
It's definitely not as popular as Snapchat and other things like that.
I've also recently come across the Cast app, which is the successor to Rabbit. I used to use Rabbit to do kind of virtual dates with my wife when we were long distance. For like almost a year, we were long distance. And that one, you can... You choose a service and you basically stream to both devices at the same time. So we were watching Once Upon a Time together. And originally we were just like, okay, now ready, set, go, and try to watch at the same time. But we would get different commercials and get out of sync. And then there was this app where it was the same stream going to both of us. And so when one of us paused, it paused for both of us. And we felt a lot more connected as a result of that. I know that Cast, they now have public channels. So you kind of jump in there, someone is streaming and everyone just kind of is in there chatting about the cartoon or whatever, and you can set up your own. So I imagine more and more of these services are going to continue to pop up, I think. This marks a new shift, I think, in the way we are going to find connection with others in a meaningful way or just new technological ways.
What is there a website for Cast? Because when I tried to Google it yesterday, it just kept giving me Chromecast.
Cast with a K? I think it's like okay. Cast app.
Castapp.co?
Yeah, there we go. Watch Parties Made Easy. And then I know there is a Google Chrome extension that's actually called Netflix Party. Mm-hmm. I think I read, though, that with Netflix Party, everyone that joins in has to have their own Netflix account, and then it just syncs it up for everyone through their account.
That's interesting.
And just one person needs the extension.
Well, I guess as we're thinking about coping during COVID-19, we need to think about what are the resources that are available. The reality is a lot of people are getting laid off right now, or they're just in limbo. And some people are fortunate enough to continue to get paid and many aren't. So knowing things like Texas Workforce Service is going to have that streamlined service and you have to wait for when you have your last day is going to be important. I know they just pushed through some legislation. I know it passed at least one branch. I don't know if it's gone completely through the other half for the stimulus checks and increasing unemployment check. And it was something like by $600 per check or something like that. So it was really meaningful. And also I know there's more that was happening with mortgages and student loans. So those are really important to pay attention to as you move forward. It is work, though, just applying for all of that and keeping up with all of that. So it's not something that is a super simple process.
And I think it's important to understand your rent, to those of you that don't have a mortgage, is that, you know, if you're renting like an apartment and things like that, you know, keep an eye out, because in other states they have extended that no one can get, you know, kicked out of their apartment for not being able to pay rent, especially if they're unemployed at this time. So there is legislation state by state. And so we need to pay attention in Texas what that's going to look like, because that might be a security thing, knowing like I'm not going to get kicked out of my, I have a place. And, you know, relieve some anxiety, even though there's a lot of anxiety about not being employed. But knowing, are you going to have to pay rent in April? You know, are you going to have to pay rent in May if you're unemployed? Like, are there protections for that? I think another thing is that I have a friend who wasn't laid off, but just told you can't work until the COVID-19's over with. And that was enough to get them unemployment for this time. So they, their job didn't officially lay them off. But like you said, as long as it said, you know, unemployment recognizes COVID-19, is it why you're not working right now and your last day was this and you have no idea when you're going back to work. They have been very flexible with that, too.
And also, I know with a lot of the, like, the most important thing for letting your apartment complex or your landlord or anybody that you pay bills to, you have to let them know I got laid off due to COVID-19. Otherwise, they're not going to assume that's the reason. And if you don't specify that right out the gate, then they're still going to be like, well, you still have to pay rent. With the stimulus checks and stuff like that, that bill has actually been signed into law. It's gone through all three branches.
Nice. I have been kind of trying to keep up and at the same time take a step back from a lot of social media and news. So I take it in short bursts.
Well, and JD, I think you make a good point right there, is that it is important during this time not to get so plugged into news and keep watching about COVID-19, that it's important to disconnect, to unplug from certain things, because we need a break. We need a mental health break from the stresses of that just coming at us, and news and story after story. You know, that can get taxing as well for a lot of people. And I know a lot of my clients, I've had to, you know, we've had to set limits. Together we set that limit, because I do know the need for news. So I'm not saying completely unplug from news completely, but you know, setting time limits for yourself is very helpful. Like 10, you know, maybe I'll do an hour of social media and then an hour of news per day, and that's it. You know, that's just an example, that you don't have to do it like that. But, you know, just setting your own limits of what's healthy for you. And that, again, is person by person.
Yeah, for me, I have had to really exercise boundaries when it comes to work and emails that keep on pouring in. There are a bunch of them that are stuff I need to know pretty immediately before I go into work the next day. I'm an essential employee, so I still am going into work. But I had to tell myself, okay, I can look at the subject line and immediately tell if I do I need to know now or later, and swipe away later. Goodbye. I don't know. I guess it's almost like a quick Tinder of just like, yep, need to hear that. No, swipe away, goodbye, until I'm at work. So still having a sense of boundaries and then having a place that I can take refuge from all of that. Recognizing that things like social media is both. I have certain groups that are non-COVID-19 stuff that is just really uplifting. It's pictures of people's kids, their pets, random funny memes. And we know that, like, okay, if we're going to get on social media and want to escape that, we go to that specific group. And that's been really nice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me with the work stuff, I'm not working solely at home. So those that are working at home, it is creating boundaries within your home. Like, I have a space, which I'm in right now, that I only use for work. Like, I don't bring my work on my couch. I don't bring my work into my bedroom. I don't you know, answer emails on my porch. Like there, I've had to create boundaries even within my home, that when I sit in this chair particularly, then that's when I look at email, that's when I grade, that's when I have my Zoom meetings. Because if I found, especially last week, that I was having difficulty with that too, where I was, you know, working all the time. And I, you know, I'm looking at the clock and it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm still answering email. I'm still doing things. And yes, as a, you know, my job is odd hours. It's not a 9-to-5 job before all this happened. And so, you know, I would spend weekends grading and things like that. But now with this, I'm being very mindful of setting time for myself of when is work and when am I not working, because it's very easy, I think, especially in the type of job I have, is just to work all the time. You know, I can leave it for a minute, then come back, and then I can leave it for a minute and come back. And that wasn't healthy, where I was like, oh my gosh, I've worked like since 8 o'clock this morning and it's 11 o'clock at night, you know? So I think that's also important, is to set those boundaries of when is it work time? When is it relaxation time? You know, and that's also what I was going to mention today, is that, and what I'm working on with some of my clients as well, is that, and doing this myself, is making a plan every day. So, you know, I have a plan Monday through Friday because I do work. And so what does that look like in comparison to my weekends, and trying to make them different, like still having a weekend, still, you know, I exercise daily. And so I have a time that I do that in. It's not a very strict time. It's like whenever I wake up till 11 is when I would get my workout in. Again, it doesn't mean that I'm working out from 9 to 11 or whatever, but this is the time scheduled for working out. You know, I make sure that I'm eating on scheduled time, so I'm not just sitting and eating. I'm guilty of mindless eating, so where I can stand in front of the TV and eat a whole bag of chips and not even realize it. So I think that's really important right now, too, because being able to be home and have access food all day is quite a different experience. And so, you know, scheduling food time, if you have people living with you, is scheduling meal time together. So like, even if everyone's working and plugged into different things, or connecting with different people, is that in the home, having meal time together, if you can. And then, you know, I schedule even creativity. I do something creative every day, you know, whether it's singing, whether it's painting or drawing or coloring. I have a, you know, adult dot to dot book that I love. It's got like 1,000 dots on the page. And so it keeps me busy and my mind occupied and not on work or COVID-19. So I think it's really important with that long explanation of just really staying to it, creating a schedule and sticking to it, but also not getting down on self if you didn't stick to the plan completely that day. But just having a schedule is very important.
Yeah, I really like that last part of not being hard on yourself if you don't actually stick to that schedule. With so many things changing so quickly, I know some people, it's just been the same thing over and over. I'm definitely not alone with hearing something new that you have to deal with for work or for something with family. And so I've had to learn to have enough structure that I kind of feel like I know where I'm going and be okay with the specifics of that plan. If I need to throw them out the window, out it goes. And here comes whatever it is that I need to address next. Yeah. For me, it's also been very helpful, just like Beck, to actually designate hours. So I'm trying to replicate my same work hours when I'm working at home as when I was always on site. And I have sequestered myself in my own little office area. Ironically, I am using my closet. So counseling from the closet or doing work emails and stuff like that. I've also found it really helpful that I still, even when I'm not doing video counseling, et cetera, even if it's just working on reports and emails, that I still shower, dress up for work. It gets me in work mode and just in a headspace that, okay, this is work. This is my life right now. Other stuff needs to be moved aside. It's been tempting to have other distracting things up on the desktop. Like, nope, I'm going to set that up also as a separate space. And then I can switch over when I do want to have fun. So all the work stuff is now gone. And instead I have all the fun stuff ready and easily accessible.
Yeah, I really make it a point that I shower and dress every day, even if I'm not working. That there is something about feeling good and dressing, not, you know, I do acknowledge though that if Sundays was always your day to sit around in your PJs and sit and watch Netflix all day or Hulu or whatever, or watch movies all day, still designate that Sunday for that, like of not dressing up, not doing those things, because that's still part of who, what you like to do as an individual. So keep those kinds of things. But the other days, you know, I really do take a shower. I make sure I dress up. I, even if it's in jeans and a t-shirt or jeans and, I mean, gym shorts and a tank top, like I think, you know, I'm still changing clothes from what I was wearing, and, you know, they're clean clothes, and I'm doing laundry and things like that just to keep healthy, you know? And I think it's really important that we do. And there is research saying about people feel better when they get dressed. And so that's a simple thing that we all can do, is just get dressed in the morning or late morning.
And also, if you are doing great, you have plenty of energy, and maybe you already had a life that was practically designed for social distancing, you might be in a really good place to reach out to some of your friends who are having a tough time adjusting. So share the positive coping with others. This is a great time to reach out.
That's a good point that, you know, a lot of my friends who are introverts are doing well in this time. However, introverts still need connection. So, you know, I think it's important that, oh, they're just an introvert. They don't need me to call or reach out to them because that's their personality type. But that's also just, you know, if you're checking on your extrovert friends, you need to be checking on your introvert friends. They may be doing better because, you know, they're used to having long periods of time alone. But again, we all need connection at some level. We're programmed, you know, for lack of a better word, to connect with one another. And then those of you that are extroverts, it is hard, you know, it's that physical energy of other people, you know, plays into your charger for your energy. So I know a lot of extroverted people right now are struggling with this new sense of normal for, you know, what's going to be for a while. And how do you, like JD said, is not completely replace it, because nothing's ever going to replace that physical contact with another person, especially someone that you love. And so how do you, you know, get as close as possible to that connection?
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be one size fits all. I was working with someone who was saying, yeah, I know I'm supposed to have this structure, and I've been working on this and this and this and this to make certain that I stick to all this schedule. And I had to say, so what was your life like before COVID-19? It's like, oh, yeah, I was working all sorts of odd hours, et cetera. And I was like, well, no wonder you're struggling with this. You're working off of someone else's template. where your life was more on just your own schedule based on what your needs were, that part doesn't necessarily have to change. You have to figure out what feels stable or supportive to you, not necessarily what feels stable and supportive to your friends who say that that's what they need. I'll also say some people during all of this actually need to create more space just for themselves. We have people who suddenly they are spending so much more time with family with roommates because they're not able to get away from each other by going to work. And so even though it's a time of social distancing, it's like, oh, okay, you need to go over there and just read while I can be over here with my own meal and sit in silence or put on headphones and listen to music or watch my favorite show.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, a good point too, is that all of a sudden you're around family and, you know, roommates 24/7 in some cases. And so, you know, how do you create a space or a time for just you? Because that's also needed. I will admit I'm a little guilty of, you know, forgetting a little bit because I'm by myself. So it's a very different. I don't know. It is a struggle. It is a struggle at times. And, you know, I'm feeling like I need, you know, I do reach out a lot more because I also am an introvert extrovert. So I do enjoy alone time. I do enjoy the days where I can do nothing and not see anybody. But, you know, this long for me has been a struggle. So I also, for me, I enjoy, I walk the trail, of course, staying 6 feet from everyone. But just seeing people, just feeling, you know, just seeing the energy and being around others and being in nature has been very healing for me at this time. Also, I took a drive this morning to go get some breakfast and to pick up some groceries and stuff. But I took the long way because I just wanted to be out of my space for a little bit and still be safe. And so that's a way to get some self time is if you have a vehicle, is to drive around a little bit. That was kind of a nice break, to be honest. Who knew errands would be a thing that I would want to do, you know, like, so excited about picking up groceries today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who aren't even going out to get groceries. They're getting everything delivered.
Yeah. I just did curbside today. And, I also, called in an order for my favorite. I haven't had donuts in a long time, and I just thought, you know, with the stress and everything, that I would support one of our local donut shops. And so I went to the donut shop and called, you know, because you could stand outside, order through your phone, and then they would bring it to your vehicle. So I did that as well. And so one, supporting local businesses, and then two, again, treating myself in a different way than I have been. Of course, you know, I'm not going to do that every day, but, you know, it feels good to support people during this time as well. And then to treat myself, and then again, you know, driving around, because I was guilty of that too, is, you know, getting a lot of things delivered. But it's, again, there's curbside, and unless you don't feel safe doing that, and I get that as well. However, I did have somebody in the community tell me that it's been nice to go to do curbside stuff because they're able to dress the way that they want to, picking up, being out in public and picking up things, and going through drive-thrus and picking up curbside and being able to be dressed as true self has been really nice, since they're not going to work and those types of things where they are unable to do that. So,
or the whole thing about working from home, it's like, okay, yeah, I get to work at home in the expression that I want.
Yeah, or I don't have to wear pants. So.
I've also been using it as an opportunity to give myself more of a break from wearing my binder, in part because of the whole, like, fact that if you do end up, like, catching the virus, it's entirely, like, in your upper respiratory area. So trying to wear a binder with already difficulty breathing, I'm like, I don't want to put myself in a situation where I end up having that. But also, I personally, my dysphoria about it isn't so bad to where I'm one of those people that feels like I have to wear my binder when I'm completely by myself in my home. I know there are some people that do feel that way, but I'm taking this as, like, a vacation from wearing the binder, except when I go outside.
Yeah, I like that you've been able to find that flexibility in your life.
Yeah, I understand that. When I used to wear a binder, that's the first thing I would take off when I came home to breathe. you know. And so, yeah, when I had weekends where I was by myself or didn't have much plans, I would enjoy the fact of not having to wear that, because I was like you. Of course, like you said, there are people that wear a binder 24/7. You know, as soon as they're up, they put that on. And, you know, I understand that too, with the dysphoria that causes. So, but hopefully people are able to find some ways to feel good about self in these moments and, you know, giving yourself a break. You know, yours is a physical break from your binder, but also just being kind to self, that this is a different time. This is a stressful time, you know, and that you're not going to, even if you're the strongest mental health healthy person out there, this is going to cause some, you know, anxiety from time to time. It's going to cause some feelings of loneliness or sadness or, you know, for some people. So just giving yourself that break of, you know, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay, you know, if you need to just step away for a while, you know, or do something that makes you feel good. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just making sure I'm doing something every day that just gives me complete joy, you know. For me, it is being artistic, and so I'm doing a lot of painting lately, and so for me that's been a really positive outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it can be helpful to understand the thoughts that might be going through our heads in the midst of all of this, the stress and anxiety, that's kind of to be expected in the middle of all of this. So it's not necessarily a reflection on your strength, the strength of your character or the strength of your mind or anything like that. And a certain portion of it is actually kind of helpful. It's our survival instinct that we want to make certain that we're safe. So we can actually thank that part of our brain that says, hey, I want to be safe. Then there might be the part of the brain that tries to expand it more and more and more to catastrophize it. And we might be able to say, well, thanks for trying to keep me safe, and let's just back up a little bit from that. We can be happy about we are taking measures to keep ourselves safe. And also that is not just keeping ourselves safe, but is also keeping other people safe. And the reality of it is that you are much more likely to get through this completely unscathed. It is dangerous and we take precautions, but most likely you're going to be okay. That's not to dismiss it all. It's just to bring things back into perspective. It's like most likely when you go out to drive, you're not going to crash, but wear your seatbelt. It's just going to be safer. Right? Wear your seatbelt, obey the traffic laws, all of that kind of stuff. Each of those steps reduces risk. And so there are steps towards your safety and other people's safety. And then move on with the next set of thoughts. If something is bringing you down, if it's loneliness, it's like, oh, okay, that means I really like connecting with people. And so focus on what helps you to connect with people, as opposed to focusing on how isolating this feels, right? So on and so forth.
And also for some people, I know you see that there's a bunch of articles and posts and stuff out there of people going above and beyond to be helpful, which for the people who need that, I can see that being very helpful for their mental state, because they feel like they're doing actionable things to help with everything. Because there's like the people who are making the homemade masks, and there's like people who are volunteering for all of these different crews and stuff like that. But I do also think it's important to like remind people that not everybody needs to help in those ways. If you can't help in those ways for any reason, that's totally fine. A lot of us, the best that we can do to help everything is to just stay home and not potentially spread the virus more.
Yes. I was actually talking to a student who was having a lot of anxiety about that same concept that you just brought up, that she was feeling very guilty sitting at home doing schoolwork and not doing more. And so, you know, really, you know, my position's different because sometimes we go into counselor role with our students. Not to say we are their counselors, but I was trying to, you know, through my conversation with the student was able to help them see that they are doing, you know, and they want to be right now helping in the field. And I said, well, what's the purpose of you gaining all this knowledge in counseling? What is the long-term goal? Like, don't forget your long-term goals in this process too, that you sitting at home getting education and mental health is eventually going to help people. You're, in a sense, quote unquote, your job right now is to still continue your studies if you're able to. And she is able, so it wasn't like, your job is to take care of your family right now, you know? And so what is the most important thing for you right now? Again, you were right. Like, not everyone is able to go help in those ways or can, or it's not safe because you are living with six other people and you going out and doing those things is putting six other people at risk when you come home. Or you have young children at home and you're putting them at risk if you come home after helping. So, you know, is there a way to help? It might be just calling a friend. That's very helpful too. Or buying groceries and sending them to a family member or a friend that's in need. So, you know, there's a lot of other ways to help people without actually physically getting out of your house and going to help. So, you know, for those that can then and are willing, then, you know, that's a great thing as well. So,
yeah, and people have found really creative ways to help, like the masks. Just as we were talking, my sister actually just sent me pictures of how her daughter, my niece, was making masks with medical grade materials in order to donate, because that was really important for her to feel like she was doing something for like her family. All three of my siblings are doctors, actually. And so they're on the front lines of all of this. And I know the kids have been trying to figure out, like, how to make sense of all of this. And that's been something that was really helpful. It's like, oh, okay, I can help mom by making some of these masks. And I can make a bunch of them because I know how to sew. And we can donate them to other doctors in New York, because I've also heard there is an organization that has pulled together therapists who are volunteering their time or reducing their fees for people on the front lines. So for healthcare people, for grocery workers, for first responders, the max of any session from that is just $50, but then a bunch of them are free. So people who are counselors and want to help, it's like, yes, a bunch of us right now are suddenly jumping into telehealth. Those of us that can help as part of our jobs, they're a great way to do so that are also exposure free.
Yeah, and I think that's important too, is that, you know, almost all counselors are going to telehealth right now. Those that have the capacity to do that, either, you know, at home, or that their private practice office is a single office and they're able to do telehealth from their private practice locations as well, is that a lot of counselors are doing that. And a lot of insurance companies are recognizing telehealth, especially during this time, as a therapeutic means, and are paying and insuring people to get counseling. And I know a lot of counselors such as myself, you know, are seeing clients at reduced rates at this time. And so, you know, if you are in mental health need, there are a lot of resources at this time, a lot of, you know, going through your insurance, if you have insurance, is a way to find a telehealth counselor to talk to someone at this time.
Yeah. And if you're on those front lines, take the time to take care of yourself. You can take the time to seek out a counselor to have that conversation.
One more thing I wanted just to mention is sleep. We didn't talk too much about sleep, but it's really important to continue your sleep hygiene during this time. You know, I know a lot of people that I've talked to have been sleeping more than they normally do. Again, trying to get, you know, on that schedule, what, no matter when you get your, you know, 8 hours, if you can get 8 hours, but, you know, really looking at your sleep hygiene, how you're getting ready for bed, how you're quieting your body still needs sleep regardless of when you take it. So if you're staying up later, but then you're allowing yourself to sleep in later, but it's really important that sense of mental health is sleep and exercise and eating healthy at this time are some things that, you know, you don't have to do a lot of extra stuff for it to get the reap the benefits for mental health for that.
And I know for myself, to quiet my brain down so that I can sleep at a reasonable hour, I've just been falling asleep to like guided meditations and Tibetan singing bowls and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think that quiet, you know, of meditation and relaxation is also important. You know, I think it is, whether you pray or meditate or deep breathe, just to have a quiet space, even being alone there with all the thoughts and things like that, is important to have that quiet.
I absolutely agree. Definitely important to take care of the body, which also supports the mind. I'm running through, and I feel like I mention this every time I'm on your podcast, the different zones of wellness. It's always good to just take a step back and think, what am I doing for my physical health? Am I eating right? Am I sleeping? Am I moving? My emotional wellness, can I actually be friends with my emotions and express my emotions? Am I processing those emotions and letting them out? Whether that's journaling, whether that's doing that through a therapist, a friend, etc. With friendship, there's social wellness. So we talked about connecting with people. Intellectual wellness, are we still using our minds? Are we taking the time to learn something or applying something that we have learned? We talked a little bit about occupational and financial wellness. So know your options there. Take care of your needs. And reach out if you are in need of assistance, because a lot of programs are stepping up to help people out. One that we haven't really hit yet, I think, is spiritual wellness. This will be a really important time to connect with whatever form of spirituality exists in your life. And I take a very broad perspective on what that means. So that can be someone's faith and religion. So this might be a time of prayer, a time to adjust when you meet with other people. So I know most churches have gone online for that. Or people have set up special times that you know that other people are going to be praying at the same time, or do prayer chains and stuff like that. And then for people that don't follow a particular religion, any sense of connection to that which is bigger than yourself, which could be just a connection to the wider world, a connection to your sense of values and personal morality, a sense of meaning in your life. What helps to give you that sense of purpose? So that way you can really be living your life to its fullest given the circumstances that you're in.
Yeah, I think just to, you know, mirror JD is just to really look at yourself holistically and what you need and how you can fulfill as much as possible at this time, those needs from each of those, from your holistic self. And it's okay to be selfish at times and take care of self. That way we can help others.
And sometimes taking care of yourself looks like binging Netflix the entire day.
Yes.
You just don't want that to be every day.
Yes.
That gets exhausting. So definitely mix it up. I know there was research a while ago that showed like a certain amount of watching television, dopamine levels would rise. But then after several hours of it, it would fall and stay down to like levels of very mild depression. It's like, okay, we don't need that. And I think a lot of us have gotten there, are just like, oh, do you want to keep watching? The little wheel is spinning. It's like, eh, I could reach over, but nah. Okay. Wait, we probably do need to switch it up at least just a little, put that on pause, walk away from the couch just for a little bit, play with the dog or do something, and then maybe come back to it just so you can So the brain has something that's new and different, at least just for a little bit.
Well, and one more thing before we go is that having animals in the home right now is a very positive thing in a lot of ways. You know, they force, dogs force you to get out and walk them. And, you know, right now that's a really good thing to take a break from indoors. You know, cats and other animals, you know, being able to pet, there's a lot of really good research about what petting an animal does for the mental health and, you know, feeling connected. So if you don't live with anyone, you know, a lot of the shelters are promoting, you know, rescues at this time. It might be the perfect opportunity to rescue an animal because you're at home and can you get them acclimated to your home.
That's also a good point. I know we could probably continue going on with this for like several hours after because there's no limit to information out there. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and just say thank you all for coming back on the show.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
We'll probably do a follow-up with more information, especially if anybody decides that they have any questions that they would like to send in, or if any additional topics come up to any of us to maybe delve a little deeper into.
Yeah, I'd love to do a Q&A session. Send in those questions.
Yes, that would be fun, you know, be able to do a Q&A on your show. And,
yeah.
And the... I want the listeners to know, too, that we're practicing social distancing and, you know, all at our homes, Skyping in.
Like this episode? Tell someone about it. Have any questions or concerns? Please feel free to send an email to transfieldguide@gmail.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to keep up with the latest episodes. Stay safe, and remember, I'm proud of you.